Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
The winner of this vote was decided by a fair and open election conducted on the White House website. This was a fair election. Unfortunately, Carrots refused to concede and demanded a recount, and we're still fighting with Carrots. And I will tell you, we've come to a conclusion. Carrots, I'm sorry to tell you, the result did not change.
Oh, the irony.
All righty then.
Of President Donald J. Trump just 2 years ago pardoning the turkey for Thanksgiving after mentioning a recount because the turkey didn't believe the votes. Also, the turkey's name is Carrots, which is orange. And here we are in 2020, and he's finally just now sort of starting to allow the transition of power to happen.
Listen,
2 days before Thanksgiving.
I'll say this. With the mess that he is, I'm pleased to know that he's going to...
do what he's supposed to do?
Concede. We thought this was going to last till January. Yeah. I didn't think he was going to do it, but I don't necessarily trust it.
Yeah.
Like, what's he got up his sleeve? What's he doing?
Exactly.
It's not enough.
Don't trust him.
Wild man.
Never will.
It's a wild turkey, man.
But he's going to be pardoning the turkey for Thanksgiving again today, I believe. So he's got to come out of the bunker, which is really exciting for very, very
honestly,
many
Melania
reasons.
Has to be there, right? I just want to see what she looks like. She
what
serves
she's wearing.
Such a look. Yeah, because I can't stand her, but the look, yes, I'm here for it.
I do kind of love her fashion.
Yeah.
We're going to be talking about it all day long. We'll keep you up to date. If we see, I don't know what time the pardoning is. It's usually kind of earlier in the day. So if that happens while we're on the air, we'll definitely let you know who he pardoned.
Absolutely.
It's just a turkey for now. He might throw in some names in there. I'm sure Roger Stone or some of those names of Paul Manafort, those names might make a comeback here at the end of the at the end of his first and only term. Thank God. Thank you so much for hanging out with us today. We're kicking off our show in about 15 minutes with the Oxford Dictionary. Usually they add like a new word at the end of the year. Not the dictionary, but Oxford usually names like one new word of the year. And this year there's a whole list of them. Because we've had to learn so many new words
if
in 2020.
If I had to hear unprecedented one more time.
And that's the crazy thing. That's not even a new word, but it's the most common used word this year. Everyone, when they try to describe the pandemic, they use the word unprecedented.
Yeah.
Or they say unprecedented, which is really weird.
Or you could just say wild. This is crazy.
Wild
this
and crazy.
Is nuts.
When I hear somebody say unprecedented, like a president, it's kind of like when somebody says Valentine's Day with an M.
Drives me crazy. I hate that.
That and chewing with your mouthful wide open.
Top three. just in case you guys were like dying to know, the turkeys are actually named today Corn and Cobb.
Wow. Okay.
Will be making their debut.
Oh, two of them. He's
on
he's
television.
Two turkeys. Is it always two or usually just one? Two always.
Yeah, two.
Wow.
It's very exciting.
Yeah,
very...
last year was bread and butter, and then the year before was peas and carrots.
Who names them?
Oh.
Like, who's got the job where you're like, I've got it.
And
you
also,
guys, this is my job. I'm going to name the turkeys.
Who decided years ago that peas and carrots go together? Think about that one. Bread and butter makes sense. Mashed potatoes and gravy makes sense. Peas and carrots?
I think peas and carrots is what like mothers in the 50s used to prepare together, so people just assume that
probably
goes
they
well.
Were cheap.
I actually hate peas. If you ever need to know, if we ever go on a game show.
Well, so you know.
You need to know.
I love them. You want to know what else I love?
What?
News on the Beat.
Great. Got it. You got it. Well, I actually love this story. Trump's not being a bad boy right now. The Trump administration is ready to begin the formal transition process with President-elect Joe Biden. The General Services Administration made the announcement yesterday marking the first step the administration has taken to acknowledge the president's electoral defeat. Now Biden and his team will have access to a slew of resources, including federal employees and about $6.3 million to set up the next administration. Biden's team unveiled a series of cabinet nominations and staffing decisions yesterday. Janet Yellen, the first woman to chair the Federal Reserve, will likely be the first woman to serve as Treasury Secretary. Also revealed were Alejandro Mayorkas, who'd be the first Latino and immigrant to run the Department of Homeland Security, and Avril Haines as Biden's pick for Director of National Intelligence, the first woman to lead the intelligence community. More Biden staff picks are expected today. I have to tell you, when I read Avril Haines, my brain went to Avril Lavigne. And for one moment, I was like, is Avril Lavigne making a comeback?
Well, he's just a skater boy. He said, see you later. She said, see you later,
listen,
boy.
Listen, she wore ties. Yep. Trump wears ties.
Do you know how often I used to wear striped ties back in the day?
For Avril?
1,000%.
That was such a... She was so cute. What is she doing now? Wasn't she married to Nickelback?
Apparently she's in... Isn't Nickelback also a group? She married the whole group, Michaela? All of them?
Yeah.
Just everyone.
Listen, you haven't met bandmates. Once you marry one, the lead singer, you marry them all.
I saw Chris Daughtry open for Nickelback one time years ago. I got to hang out on stage.
Chris is coming on our show, isn't he?
Some point.
Soon we're going to interview him?
We love Chris.
Great. All right, well, let's get into a little weather. It's going to be a high of 50 in New York today, a high of 70 in LA, 64 in Vegas. Ooh, that's kind of cold for Vegas. 77 in Palm Springs, high Palm Springs, and 81 in Houston. Now hit us with the vibe of the day.
Get ready for something magical. You were about to receive amazing news.
Oh, that feels good. All right, you guys, well, Zoom bombing, super spreader, COVIDiot, Oxford Word of the Year is expanded to a whole list for 2020 to capture the mood. And we have all of those words coming up in 2 minutes.
So one of my favorite things this time of year as we come into the holidays is things start to wrap up, slow down just a bit.
Oh, yeah.
And every year, this, and I'm kind of a nerd. I used to be in spelling bees. I'm a kind of a wordsmith. Oxford Dictionaries usually releases a word of the year.
Yeah.
But since 2020 was 74 years long, I think they decided to adjust that
it's
this
true.
One year. And they've released it. They've released an entire list of words this year because we've had to adjust our vernacular, adjust our vocabulary, the way that we communicate with each other to articulate what it is we're going through and what we're experiencing. Because there's so many things, again, that are unprecedented about this year, which, by the way, is the most popular word of the entire year.
And we're never using it again.
Hate. I don't want unprecedented.
I don't want it either.
But some of these words I can live with. I really, really love and relate to the word Blursday. Do you know what Blursday is?
No.
It's any day of the week because it doesn't matter what day it is because every day blurs together and feels like the same day.
I got to tell you something. Even hosting this show, I come in the morning sometimes and I'm like, what day is it again? Wednesday?
Yeah.
And you're like, it's definitely Friday. And yeah. You're like, oh, good.
Okay,
good.
But first of all, that's a lie. You always know it's Friday.
I do always
okay,
know.
Monday through Thursday
Monday.
Is a bit of
it's a blur. It is a blur. I like this word, COVIDiot.
Oh, yeah, there's a lot of them.
I think it's so funny, people being irresponsible during COVID. We know many of them. I will say, though, this really pleased me. It is a person who disobeys guidelines designed to prevent the spread of COVID-19. Mm-hmm. However, I just went on my Facebook. I won't name names, but three people canceled their flights to go to Thanksgiving dinner. One was in Houston, one was in Dallas and somewhere else. And they said, we just don't want to risk it. We want to be safe this year. We'll see our friends and family next year. So I'm proud of my friends, but not everyone's doing that. I see a lot of people still preparing a full Thanksgiving dinner.
Millions of people still flying cross country right now.
Oh, yeah. How are the airports right now? Are they busy?
Yeah, I saw photos yesterday and videos of airports just packed. And it hasn't happened since March. So, yeah, we canceled our Thanksgiving. We're doing a small little thing with just a couple friends. I got tested again yesterday. I'm COVID negative again. Yay!
Negative.
Woohoo! Although you were in the car with me and I got my drive-through test, so.
Okay, to be fair.
You're probably negative, too.
I am. one word I hate. Oh, you go ahead.
Well, BC used to mean before Christ back in the day. Now it's before COVID or before coronavirus. People are throwing BC around.
Oh, my God, no.
But speaking of bees, how about the bubble? Remember when a bubble used to be a thing that you'd blow as a little kid in the summertime out of a plastic container?
Yeah.
And now bubble means a little safe zone where sports can exist or wherever, or you can exist.
Yeah. It's a good thing. It's a good thing to be in a bubble.
But doesn't it bring up feelings of safety, though, when you hear the word bubble now?
Yeah.
It sounds clean and safe to me.
Kind of. Not to me. I still really relate it to just being in your own bubble, which I don't like. I actually don't like personal space.
You've also lived in your own your entire life.
Absolutely.
So there it is.
Zoom bombing is my favorite. Yes. Who thought Zoom was going to be the star of the pandemic? Even with its bad Wi-Fi, you have to have
it. Remember when we did the story early on where the girl was accidentally a potato the entire time?
Yeah.
She was just a mouth
we
on a potato.
Had her on the show.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, we did.
Yeah. Well, the practice of infiltrating video conference calls on the Zoom application. How many people, though, how many people do you think lost their jobs from being irresponsible on Zoom?
Well, what about doom scrolling?
God.
It's something we sort of already did.
We already did.
But we didn't know it was called that.
Yeah.
Because every single day we look for news, it's always devastating. And doom scrolling is the art of scrolling through the news and social media and things just looking for bad news. It's not hard to do these days.
No.
It's pretty easy to come by.
Super spreader.
Yeah, that's another one.
An individual infected with COVID and walking around doing their thing.
I just sort of think of, when I think of super spreader, I think of that biker rally. That's like the first one that really stood. What
that's
was it?
The one
Sturgis.
That gets you?
Sturgis. Yeah, that's the one that really stands out. That and the Amy Coney Barrett confirmation.
That's what I think
in
of.
In the Rose Garden.
What's Amy Coney Barrett doing right now? I feel like we talked about her a lot. Then she got nominated.
I feel
and
like
she
got nominated
happen.
And now she's like, I'm just going to do old my news. Job, hopefully, and avoid Trump forever.
Yeah, yeah.
Because he probably thinks she owes him, but I don't know that she thinks that. Hopefully.
I will say that although I could not stand the pandemic, mm-hmm. I'm happy that we're making light of it as much as we can because it's been brutal.
Yeah.
And some of these words.
How about the word furlough, though?
Nope,
that's a
hate
word
that word.
I kind of knew what it was.
I
but
didn't
now
even know what it was. And then it happened to Lisa. And I was like, I don't know what that is. It's like you're not fired, but you're also not
employed. So hopefully that's a word we don't
is
hear
it like
much
laid
in
off?
2021.
It's like laid off.
I guess.
But also you don't get to come back, really.
But they have the option to bring you back when they need you, think.
That's what it is.
We're going to get furloughed.
Yeah, okay.
Well, watch it.
No, we're not. Not with the news I have in checking
that.
In.
Oh, you do have some big news for our
that's
listeners.
That's right. Coming up, we're doing a very special check-in. We have some big news, and we're talking about it coming up in 2 minutes.
That's right. We are the Morning Beat, and I feel like it's going to be Michaela Gordon and AJ Gibson very, very soon. They might need to change the order of our names on that because you're experiencing something right now that is wild. So remember back in July, we had given Michaela, she set a goal for herself to get to 100,000 TikTok followers in 3 months. She was a little bit behind.
Yeah.
But she did get there. So last week, we had a celebration. She hit 100,000. Do you want to listen? I think we have some audio from that.
Yeah.
Just a reminder. I'm up for work this morning. My partner's still in bed. He sends me a text. By the way, Michaela hit 100,000 followers on TikTok.
Thank you so please.
You
no,
picked
please.
Me up? Okay, cut her off. That's enough. So, and that was what day, Justin?
That was last Thursday.
Thursday.
Okay.
Today's Tuesday.
Yeah.
So in the matter of 4 or 5 days, mm-hmm. you went from 100,000 to where are you now? Check your phone right now because it changes rapidly.
All right. If you want to check out my TikTok, it's really funny. The whole premise is me
as Melania Trump
and John DiDomenico, our Trump, and we are just on there being so fun. Listen, I was so against TikTok. Let me just say
that.
Would
you just shut up and
no,
check your number
I'm inviting
for
the
us.
Listeners into the conversation.
We're trying to celebrate you right now.
This is not right inside now. Baseball right now, Brian Holt.
She's taking a note. Okay, so yeah, TikTok.
Okay,
I'm not on it.
So we don't understand
my
it that well.
My sister's obsessed with it. Though.
Yeah, so it's a thing that you gotta like. If you are on TikTok, I like it because there's recipes on there. There's a lot of things just besides comedy, but you can follow me at Michaela Gordon 88.
It's a way to watch really fun short content and just kind of binge all day long.
Totally.
It's really big with
nothing
the kids.
Longer than a minute.
There's a lot of challenges on there. People do dance videos. My sister is 24. She's obsessed.
Obsessed.
She doesn't even watch TV. She watches TikTok.
But also there's a woman named Dolores. They call her Dolly Broadway. Mm-hmm. She's 87.
So there's
wild.
Something for
okay,
everyone.
Over there. Okay, as of now, 211,000.
Wow.
700 followers.
You've gotten 110,000 followers since Thursday.
Yeah, and I got 10,000 just sitting here this morning.
Yeah, So here's let me paint the picture for you. So you posted a video yesterday afternoon.
Okay, so I did
now
this
has
video.
How many videos?
So I did a video that I posted. Oh, they were all one day ago. Okay, so I said, oh my God, even I'm surprised, okay? Like, I always walk around thinking I'm a star, but this is totally crazy. I did one video, it's a TikTok challenge with Trump. That hit 2.8 million. So I was like, we're doing pretty good. That's a big deal.
That's a huge number.
Big deal. The last video I just posted, I posted that 17 hours ago, has 7.8 million views.
That's wild. I'm going to tell you. So yesterday I texted Michaela. I'd ordered a KitchenAid stand mixer, which is my big exciting news for the week.
Also, people can appreciate.
Yeah. So if you know that, I mean, they're kind of expensive. They're a little bit pricey. It's sort of like one of those goals for somebody who's in the kitchen a lot, a baker. Well, the holidays are coming up, so I'm making all the pies. So I'm excited to go pick up my KitchenAid stand mixer at Bed Bath & Beyond. But the only one they had available for curbside pickup was 45 minutes away.
Yeah.
So I texted Michaela yesterday after her nap, like, okay, wake up. We're going to Northridge. She's like, fine, whatever. I'll get ready. I pick her up. No joke. You posted that video right before I picked you up. Not too long before I picked you up. And at one point, we go to dinner after we get my stand mixer. From the time we got out of the car till the time our server greeted us to bring us water, she had gotten 5,000 new followers.
And he told our server that.
I told our server.
Our server did not have any idea what we were talking about, nor did he care.
He hated us.
We cared. Yeah.
But he kind of loved us.
Listen, I love TikTok. If you're not familiar with it, or if you're like me where I was like, no way, it is actually really cool.
Well, social media is really interesting, and this is where you're going to come in. This is the next area you're going to delve into, I'm sure. And I had to really explain this to my friends and family when I asked them to comment and like my things. It's because a lot of my income comes from there.
Yeah.
So I make my income off of Instagram.
Yeah, you can make money off of social
media.
People
become multimillionaires off it. Are we doing that story? We have a story in News on the Beat later that we're going to share.
Totally.
Where people are getting paid up to $1 million. So it is a valid career option too. And it will be for you very, very soon.
I think so. And if you guys are interested or want to make extra money, if you're good at something or if you're even – TikTok makes it easy to edit the videos.
And you never know. You never know what people are going to relate to. And it's not necessarily like the youngest, skinniest, prettiest people. And I'm not saying that's not you because you are all of those things except for the young part. But – there is something for everyone on social media, and
it's
that's the
great.
Cool thing about it.
Well, follow me at MichaelaGordon88 on TikTok if you want to be a part of the 7.8 million people viewing my videos. I love that this started with a challenge from our boss, and here we are now, 200,000 followers.
He doesn't
later.
Even know. He's not on TikTok.
No,
does he even know what's happening?
I don't think they care anymore.
No.
But
they've moved on to something
new. Yeah, something better. All right, you guys, well, coming up, Jeopardy is also moving on after the devastating news of Alex Trebek's passing. They have found a new host. We have those details and how it affects you watching one of your favorite shows coming up next.
Thank you. Now, Michaela Gordon, what is poppin'?
Okay, well, we were all very devastated to hear of the death of Alex Trebek, and he was such an incredible man, father, husband, host of Jeopardy, and I couldn't really imagine a Jeopardy without him. I think we were just so used to him. But following the death of longtime Jeopardy host, they have announced a new host. Jeopardy announced yesterday that Ken Jennings, who holds the all-time records for most consecutive games won at 74, will be the first guest host for the show, which plans to resume production on November 30th. And they said, we will honor Alex's legacy by continuing to produce the game he loved with smart contestants and challenging clues. By bringing in familiar guest hosts for the foreseeable future, our goal is to create a sense of community and continuity for our viewers. And that was said by Mike Richards, an executive producer of Jeopardy. I think that's a really, really great idea. Just bring in familiar guest hosts from the show until they find maybe who they like, and just getting people okay with the idea that Alex Trebek is no longer the host. Oh, but that first episode, I feel like, is going to be so emotional.
It's a smart marketing campaign to try to get some buzz about who will be the next host of Jeopardy. That's a big deal.
Yeah.
It's one of those iconic gigs that could last for decades. It's kind of what happened with The Price is Right when Drew Carey took over for Bob Barker. And also, I remember when Kelly and Michael, when Michael Strahan left that show, they did a whole months-long search. And Kelly Ripa had so many guest co-hosts, and it became this, like, who's she going to pick? Who's she going to pick? It ended up being Ryan Seacrest, which was probably the most safe choice.
Yeah.
But they made a whole thing out of it, and it can help their ratings. So it could be kind of fun to tune into Jeopardy for a week or two at a time to see who's hosting. It might be kind of interesting.
Absolutely. I think it's a really good idea. And, you know, just again, sending all of our love to Alex Trebek's family. He can never be replaced, and they know that. All right, well, this What's Poppin' was brought to you by California Psychics. Want to know your future? Talk to California Psychics. They thoroughly test their psychics to make sure they have real gifts. Take the California Psychics Challenge. If your psychic reading isn't the best you've ever had, it is free. Visit CaliforniaPsychics.com or download download the app. That's California Psychics. Now, we have a great next hour for you, a great show as we head into our Thanksgiving weekend vacation. Nina West, who is a dear friend of the show, has something really fabulous going on. We had the opportunity to speak with her. Also, I thought this was really interesting, an article on how to read faces through a mask. I don't think masks are going anywhere anytime soon. And how do you communicate with people? We have those details for you coming up next hour.
Welcome back to the Morning Beat. I want to remind you that we're doing something really fantastic here at Channel Q and all of radio.com. It's called Give a Gift. We want you to get involved in any way you can. All you have to do is text the word giver to 76278. Give a dollar. Give $5. All the proceeds will go to help families in need here in Southern California. Children who need food and clothing, we're going to actually give them gift cards so families can buy what it is they need, maybe put a present under the tree for the holidays. So once again, text giver, G-I-V-E-R, to 76278 and help out any way you can, please. And thank you. Now,
Michaela
Gordon, what do you have for our listeners in News on the Beat? Something's going on in Pennsylvania. They're not allowing alcohol sales on Thanksgiving Eve.
This is nuts. So, in an effort to curb the spread of COVID-19, Pennsylvania state officials announced Monday that residents will not be able to purchase alcohol at bars or restaurants the night before Thanksgiving. Governor Tom Wolf and Secretary of Health Dr. Rachel Levine announced that the temporary suspension will go into effect on 5 p.m. Wednesday and remain in place until 8 a.m. on Thanksgiving morning. It turns out that the biggest day for drinking is the Wednesday before Thanksgiving. Wolf said when people get together in that situation, it leads to an increase in the exchange of fluids that leads to an increase to infection. On Saturday alone, there were more than 7,000 new cases of COVID-19, according to data from the state, and more than 4,000 additional new cases on Sunday. I will tell you, I was dating a guy at the time, and I went back to, well, we just went to San Francisco to have Thanksgiving with his family, and the night before, they got hammered. We went to a bar and they got hammered. I did not know.
I just told my partner
that was the biggest day.
Oh no! I just told my partner this the other day that we used to do that. Thanksgiving Eve was the biggest night of the year by far.
Why?
I don't
know.
Who
made it? It just decided.
Well, everybody comes back home to their hometowns.
But it's not like Christmas. Nobody decided. Well, I guess you can.
That's a specific. Usually Christmas, you're off for like a week or so. Thanksgiving, you have that one night.
Oh yeah.
Wednesday night before my cousin Betsy and I used to show up so drunk and hungover on Thanksgiving Day. Our Aunt Shelley, one year, we played cards one night, introduced her to Jägermeister. She had no idea what it was, but she loved black licorice. She spent the day in bed sick, missed Thanksgiving.
Oh, my God.
Doesn't remember it to this day, but we have to remind her every single year.
Well, you know, it's so funny. You made this point yesterday when we were passing a nail salon. You said, oh, they're still open here in L.A. Let me adjust my mic for this. And I said, yeah, they're open, but they're closing Wednesday. And you said, well, that's so stupid. You know, for all the things that are closing Wednesday, people are just going to rush and get their nails done, or they're going to rush and get alcohol now. I mean, you're not really...
Well, the thing is, when you give people a 2 days heads up, they all go out and do all the things they're not supposed to
do. Yeah. So it kind of defeats the purpose.
I'm going to dinner tonight with friends for a birthday.
Yeah, because you won't be able to for a while.
We're eating outdoors, but we've already had this scheduled. It's your birthday, so what do you do?
Yeah, it's rough. All right, you guys, well, finishing off the news this morning in this hour, the Trump administration is ready to begin the formal transition process with President-elect Joe Biden. The General Services Administration made the announcement yesterday, marking the first step the administration has taken to acknowledge the president's electoral defeat. Now, Biden and his team will have access to a slew of resources, including federal employees and about $6.3 million to set up the next administration. Biden's team unveiled a series of cabinet nominations and staffing decisions yesterday. Janet Yellen, the first woman to chair the Federal Reserve, will likely be the first woman to serve as Treasury Secretary. Also revealed were Alejandro Mayorkas, who'd be the first Latino and immigrant to run the Department of Homeland Security, and Avril Haines is Biden's pick for Director of National Intelligence, the first woman to lead the intelligence community. More Biden staff picks are expected today. That's exciting. I like to know that it's so diverse for him, but we knew that was going to happen.
We're excited about diversity. For average Americans, nobody has a clue who any of these people are. Janet Yellen was her name. And the only person that people kind of know right now is John Kerry, because he's been around. He was our nominee as a Democrat years ago, and then he served as Secretary of State under Obama for 4 years. But it's kind of exciting to hear him not pick a bunch of reality TV stars and, like, just people who are just... family.
Yeah, I agree.
I mean, you know what I mean?
I agree. All right, well, let's get into a little weather. It's going to be a high of 50 in New York today, 81 in Miami, 61 in San Francisco, a high of 72 in Phoenix, and a high of 52 in Seattle. Now hit us with a vibe of the day.
Get ready for something magical. You are about to receive amazing news.
Hey, I love that. Mm-hmm. All right, well, coming up, we're talking to Nina West. She has a fabulous new Christmas video out, and we're also talking mental health, how to protect it. Nina West opens up about her own story coming up next.
One of the more challenging things of this year, even beyond wearing face masks, is reading people's mood, emotions,
oh, yeah,
facial expressions while they're wearing a face mask and communicating with each other. It's almost like we had to learn to communicate again when texting became a thing, right?
Totally.
We're having to do it again in 2020. So we thought we would just go through some tips and pointers and easy reads because I think I'm naturally the type of person who reads people's eyes a lot. I read eyes and body language.
You do? Do you do mouth? Do you do?
I don't think I do.
Generally speaking, I feel like I watch the mouth and
you're
the eyes.
You're very expressive with your mouth, though.
Totally. But I feel like I take a smile for it. You know, listen, people have Botox. People have fillers. You can't mm-hmm. tell just by the eyes anymore. Like, I need the mouth also to understand if you're laughing. I looked at a lady the other day behind her mask, and I was like, hi, and I smiled. And I couldn't tell if she smiled back at me. It actually like seemed like she just did not care, and I couldn't tell.
Well, there was a psychologist years ago, back in the 1970s, who created something called the McGlurk method or the McGlurk effect, basically saying individuals with and without hearing rely on visual cues. So it doesn't even matter if you're deaf. Up to that point, they thought oftentimes deaf people only use cues, like visual cues, to really read somebody. Not true, actually. You have full capacities of all five of your senses. You still look at people's faces when they talk to you, mm-hmm. which is why Zoom has been a really interesting thing as well. You think you've got mask involved when you're in person, and when you're not, you're on Zoom. And early on in the pandemic, a lot of companies allowed their employees to keep their phone number or their still image or just their name up on the screen. And a lot of companies, I did a conference a couple weeks ago, I did a keynote address, and they were saying a lot of companies have now said, you have to turn your camera on. We have to be able to read your face. We have to be able to see you and know how you're feeling so we can connect with you. And I know every time we do a Zoom, our boss always says, turn your cameras on. And most people do. But the mask adds another layer.
Absolutely.
So there's a couple different things. Like, obviously, you can tell if somebody's really wide-eyed. Like, if I go like this to you, my eyes are really wide, what does that look like to you?
You're surprised.
Yeah, surprised. Or it can be scared. Very similar. But without the mouth expression.
Yeah, but what you just did with your eyes, I can't do because of the Botox lift I just got.
Well, that's a whole different level.
Look at my face. No, we have to talk about this. This is important.
You
look, I'm surprised.
Outside of Los Angeles, normal people don't have that problem.
People have that problem. Well, here's what I would like to talk about. Mask insecurity, because you know what it does when you can't read a person's face. Now we're finding, like, I found it myself. I feel insecure, like, oh, are they not thinking I'm funny, or oh, they don't want to smile at me? And so I feel like then it might bring up insecurities. Also, most people haven't seen other people in like 8 months.
Yeah.
So now you're like re-interacting with people. You might be feeling insecure already because you haven't had to socially be acceptable. Mm-hmm. And now you got a mask covering the one thing that might be the warm, kind thing on their face.
Well, they're saying these things are called micro expressions and that they still actually work, but you have to know how to read them because the difference between, like, for instance, the difference between surprise and fear is kind of subtle. Surprise is kind of wide-eyed, like I just did. Like, I'm surprised. I have big, big eyes, but my eyebrows still kind of arch. With fear, your eyes are kind of open, like you're alert. What's going on?
Okay, cover your mouth and
nose.
But
then you also, you're kind of scrunching a little bit. Like, you're, like, tense, so there might be some wrinkles in your forehead, and your eyebrows arch less, and they almost become straight across.
Okay, cover your mouth and nose.
Okay, well, I have a mask, so why don't I just
put your mask on, and then you make a micro expression, and I will call it what it is. So, surprised. Scared.
See?
Worrisome.
You see the
difference,
don't you?
I'm going to keep going.
What else can I do? How about I do...
You feel insecure. You look like a little puppy who just did something bad.
Yeah, I was sad. See, with the mask on, it still works.
Guys,
Justin,
this is a great radio. This is trying to identify facial expressions.
Well, I know, but Justin, I wanted to see if I could do it, listen, if it worked. But clearly, the article works.
I know how to do radio. That's why I explained the difference between the brows.
Well,
if your brows
are
arched, you're joyful and surprised, and if they're not, you're scared.
Well, and also, if you have a lot of Botox, maybe if you're anything like me, we're going to have to get some of it taken out because I have one expression called frozen.
Expressions are the same. But this is very real. My bigger issue has been mask knee. I got a pimple.
Oh, yeah.
I had a pimple since
I was a
teenager.
I know, it's
and
rough.
And I got one a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah,
right
I know.
Where my mask sits.
Right on your nose.
But I'm safe and I'm COVID negative.
And you're twin. Oh, yeah, that's true. all right, you guys. Well, this is going to be a great What's Poppin'. Dwayne Wade is speaking out on Mike Tyson talking about his daughter, Zaya. We have the details coming up in What's Poppin'.
It's time again for What's Poppin', brought to you by California Psychics. We're going to get there in just a moment, but I do want to remind our listeners, also, we're talking about D. Wade and his family once again.
Mm-hmm.
He's kind of one of the reasons I watch sports.
Great.
I've really had a crush on him for a while. As a gay man,
very much your type.
It's pretty standard.
Yeah.
Yes. But I do want to remind all of our listeners that our show gets turned into a podcast every single day, so if you can't listen to us live, download the radio.com app. Listen to The Morning Beat anywhere you take your mobile device. Now back to the heartthrob that is D. Wade. I love him even more after this news. What do you have for us?
All right. Well, we know that Dwayne Wade, his daughter, Zaya Wade, 13, is a trans girl. And they've been very, very supportive, along with Gabrielle Union. And it's so heartwarming. But there have been a lot of haters that have talked very poorly about Zaya and the way that Dwayne and Gabrielle have chosen to parent. But you will not find a hater in Mike Tyson. Mike Tyson really opened up about the support he had for Dwayne Wade, and even expressed that although he may not understand that it's not their job as people to understand or judge, that that is Dwayne, Gabrielle, and Zaya's journey. And now Dwayne Wade is responding to Mike Tyson. Take a listen.
Yeah, I actually talked to Mike about that early in the pandemic. We had a conversation, and you know, I appreciated it from the standpoint of, you know, Mike is someone who has never tried to be perfect. You know, he's someone who has learned from this journey of life. And, you know, he's one of the people that he's so smart. He's so educated and knowledgeable about life, man. And for him to be able to drop that nugget on the world, and it was great to hear him say that.
Now, he's saying that he's very appreciative of Mike Tyson because Mike Tyson was in an interview. He was interviewing another rapper and Boosie Badass. And I think we actually covered this story because it was a few months ago.
It was on his podcast. It was in February.
Yeah. Yep. And so Boosie Badass really brought up Zaya, and Mike defended Zaya. And so that's where his appreciation is coming from. But, you know, with the appreciation, Dwayne and Gabrielle still want people to know kind of what to do if you have a trans child and how to deal with the haters. And Dwayne in the interview finishes off with this advice.
You know, I understand that everyone has their own path, their own journey towards accepting things, mm-hmm. you know. So I've never came out and said anything to anybody that, you know, that feels a certain way about me or someone else in my family and my loved ones, because they don't know us, they don't know our heart. They definitely don't know Zaya. So, you know, all I do is what my mama say, just pray for him.
Listen, when he says they definitely don't know Zaya, that part, because here's the thing. When people say, because in that Boosie interview, he had said something about, he'd made a comment, he's like, why, I was so offended because Zaya's a child. That's where the offense came from.
Absolutely.
And here's my advice. If it's not you, not in your house, not in your inner circle, you don't have the right to get offended. What are you offended about?
Well, and I think
let people be themselves.
I think yesterday when we did the story about John Cleese, mm-hmm. I think that's where my frustration was also coming from. You know, when he talks trans so broadly, he's still talking about trans children.
Yeah, if you didn't listen yesterday, actor John Cleese sent out a whole series of tweets that were very, very problematic. At one point, he's like, well, I want to be a Cambodian woman, but is that unrealistic for me?
Yeah.
Just really offensive stuff.
Yeah, you forget there's an age to all of this, and some of them are under 18. You have to be careful what you talk about. So mm-hmm. I'm happy that Mike Tyson took the stance of defending her, and Dwayne is thanking him. All right, well, this What's Poppin' was brought to you by California Psychics. If you want to know your future, talk to California Psychics. They thoroughly test their psychics to make sure they have real gifts Take the California Psychics Challenge. If your psychic reading isn't the best you've ever had, it's free. Visit CaliforniaPsychics.com or download the app, California Psychics. I will say, I've been feeling my Grandma Vivian's presence like wildfire. And California Psychics was able to connect me with her in their own way. And I highly recommend it. It was very important to me, whether you believe in it or not. For me, it was something I needed, and I loved that experience. Now, coming up in Red, White, and Q, Ryan Basham joins us to talk about the transition from Trump to Biden, and also Biden's potential cabinet coming up next.
I'm blinded by the lights as well, Weekend.
Yeah, Weekend. Though, what's going on with the Weekend, though? Because
what's up with the beat-up face and the bandages
what's
all the time?
Why are you making a scared face?
Why
like
does he
something
do that
happened?
Thing?
No, I was just saying the Weekend.
The Weekend.
There's no E.
Yeah, there's no E.
Oh, is there no E? No,
yeah, but ain't nobody call him the Weekend. Come
Weekend.
On. But maybe
Weekend.
That's... Maybe
well,
it's,
I want to know why he's walking around with bandages on his face.
Yeah, what is that?
Did you guys see that at the AMAs? Yeah. He did it. He had like a bloody face the last award show.
He's done that for a while.
This one, it looks like he had like a nose and chin thing done. Maybe. But he's not. Like, it's part of this. I don't know what he's about to announce.
A shtick. Maybe he's had some work done during the pandemic and
well,
he's
listen,
just recovering.
I would love that. He's making work great again.
Can you imagine?
Yeah.
He's making more than just the Weekend great.
He's making a Thursday nose job incredible.
Coming up this hour, it's time for Red, White, and Q. We're joined by one of our political experts, Ryan Basham from Stonewall Democrats. He's the VP of Communications. Listen, Donald Trump is finally sort of giving in, but not actually conceding, but allowing Biden's transition team to actually do what they do and transition. Also, Biden's made some exciting picks. And we have some more potential picks coming out today for his cabinet that should be announced at any point later this morning. So we'll keep you updated on that and talking to Ryan Basham in 15 minutes. So make sure you stick around for that conversation. Now, Michaela Gordon, how about some news on the beat?
Fine. The Trump administration is ready to begin the formal transition process with President-elect Joe Biden. The General Services Administration made the announcement yesterday, marking the first step the administration has taken to acknowledge the president's electoral defeat. Now, Biden and his team will have access to a slew of resources, including federal employees and about $6.3 million to set up the next administration. Biden's team unveiled a series of cabinet nominations and staffing decisions yesterday. Janet Yellen, the first woman to chair the Federal Reserve, will likely be the first woman to serve as Treasury Secretary. Also revealed were Alejandro Mayorkas, who'd be the first Latino and immigrant to run the Department of Homeland Security, and Avril Haines as Biden's pick for Director of National Intelligence, the first woman to lead the intelligence community. More Biden staff picks are expected today. Now, in other news, in Pennsylvania, in an effort to curb the spread of COVID-19, Pennsylvania state officials announced yesterday that residents will not be able to purchase alcohol at bars or restaurants the night before Thanksgiving. Governor Tom Wolf and Secretary of Health Dr. Rachel Levine announced that the temporary suspension will go into effect on 5 p.m. Wednesday and remain in place until 8 a.m. on Thanksgiving morning. It turns out that the biggest day for drinking is the Wednesday before Thanksgiving, Wolf said. When people get together in that situation, it leads to an increase in the exchange of fluids that leads to an increase in infection. On Saturday alone, there were more than 7,000 new cases of COVID-19, according to data from the state, and more than 4,000 additional new cases on Sunday. I'll tell you what, they're having a fit in Vegas right now because they're on a curfew, 10 p.m. to 5 a.m.
That's the only time people are out in Vegas.
Well, no, not really, because Vegas is that kind of playground where you can start drinking at 9 a.m.
Oh, that too, yeah.
So that's sort of the fight right now in Vegas. They're saying, look, where we are, you can stop people at 10 p.m. so that you don't feel like they're wiling out and drinking, but they'll just start at 9 a.m. at the casinos. They don't care, and you can get alcohol 24/7.
I day drink in Las Vegas. That's what I go
everybody there for. Does. That's what I'm saying. And, you know, the other shows and people in the industry there are being... what is it? They're being compromised.
Bad boys?
They may not be able, you're being a bad boy over there. I know what you're doing over there.
Sorry.
But they're being compromised. Their jobs. Because of the small pause. And I don't know if I agree with that.
Well, here in Los Angeles, they're trying. I guess apparently there's news this morning that the Federation of Restaurants here in California are trying to fight this ban on outdoor dining, too. Now they're trying to ban outdoor dining for the next month or so, possibly. And that's just... You have to... I understand this thing is very real and you have to take it very seriously, but you can't just destroy businesses for months and months on end with no game plan and... no financial assistance. People have gotten one check for $1,200. Like, there needs to be, that's fine if you're going to close things down, support your citizens.
Yeah, I feel like that too. Yeah. All right, well, let's get into weather. It's a high of 52 in Baltimore, a high of 39 in Buffalo, 45 in Chicago, and a high of 45 in Cleveland. I just want to say that this is how supportive AJ Gibson is. If you did not hear our checking in segment, I recently just hit over 220,000 followers on TikTok. We're so excited. I ask you to follow me at MichaelaGordon88. So AJ, so the good dear friend that he
tried
is,
to do it.
He's trying to be on TikTok right now, but he didn't realize that the videos keep going and they're very loud.
On and the random video popped up and there it was. So I really know how to keep up with the kids these days.
Yeah, but you're doing good. All right, give us a vibe of the day.
Get ready for something magical. You're about to receive amazing news.
You did. I'm gonna take that personally. Put it in my back pocket. Red, White, and Q is our next segment. Biden's transition begins, and one reason why Trump may not have won. We have all these answers coming up next.
Welcome back to the Morning Beat. It's time for our segment Red, White, and Q, where we talk all things political. Today we have one of our favorite guests, political analyst and expert Ryan Basham. He's the VP of Communications for Stonewall Democrats on the line. Thanks for being here, Ryan.
Hey, honey.
My pleasure. Hi.
A lot happened yesterday, very, very quickly, and it all sort of pointed to one outcome, and that Donald J. Trump is not going to win this election. He's not going to steal it. There's no path forward, and I think he sort of realizes that now, and we're seeing this article saying that he went along with the agreement to allow Biden's transition to start to happen only after his aides told him he didn't have to admit that he lost. Why does that make sense? How is that okay?
Well, I mean, why does it make sense is a great question for any part of the Trump administration. I think, the letter from the GSA to Biden and his team letting them know that this was actually finally happening never actually referred to them as the president-elect and vice president-elect, respectively, which I think was by design. I think Donald Trump is angling for it. Well, he says a 2024 run, but really, you know, the reports are that he's angling for the ways that he can make the most amount of money with the least amount of effort going forward. And right now he's brand building. Right now he's sucking up small dollar donations from his supporters for his legal fund that will become his slush fund later. It's really kind of sick when you think about the way that he's using and abusing the American public for his livelihood post-presidency. But this is the America we live in now.
Well, I will say that it is sort of a relief to know that he is sort of backing down. We thought this could go on until January 20th. But part of me feels a little bit skeptical about the situation. Is there anything else he could possibly do? Or what is the most damaging thing he can do for Biden before January 20th?
I mean, look, he's doing incredibly damaging things. It's like he's throwing rocks at all the windows on his way out. He's doing things like taking us out of nuclear arms proliferation treaties and taking us out of other. For example, he's taking us out of a treaty that I think 35 of the biggest economies in the world are all a part of, that allow each other to monitor each other for the possible development of nuclear weapons, and destroying the planes they use to monitor whether or not that's happening in the first place, so that if Biden decides he wants to get back into that treaty, he's going to have new planes built just to maintain this nuclear proliferation treaty. So, you know, it's things like that left and right, installing a 34-year-old, I think, to be the person who directly oversees the military special forces, which are like the Navy SEALs and people like that. So they're trying to break as much as they possibly can on the way out.
How much of this can Biden overturn the day he takes office? How much of this can be corrected quickly so that he can move forward?
Well, some of it, I mean, that's the disadvantage of doing things by executive order and not through Congress the way you're supposed to for Trump. A lot of it Biden can undo the first day. The problem is the weeks that go by between now and then where that stuff creates damage that needs to be fixed. Mm-hmm. But when it comes to things like that nuclear proliferation thing that I just mentioned, those planes might already be destroyed by the time he takes office. So it could take months or years to get back up to speed on being able to monitor foreign countries for whether or not they're developing nuclear arms.
So I hope there's somebody somewhere who's like, okay, we're not going to destroy these. We're going to hide them from him. We're just going to hide them for a couple of months and hope we get away with it. So there is some good news coming out of the LGBTQ community, though. We saw that Trump was saying that he's going to have higher turnout and higher support from our community than ever before. Turns out his numbers were flat. They were on par with 2016, which, by the way, were the lowest on record for a Republican candidate. So we did our part, it sounds like.
You know, I think we did do our part. And, you know, back to this whole, you know, Trump breaking things on his way out. You know, he's been lying to us the whole time. He and his people have been lying to us the whole time about what the truth is. And I think one of the biggest consequences of that is that we're living in a world where different groups of Americans are working on different groups of facts. We shouldn't, it should be obvious to that other 20% that his candidacy, his campaign, his presidency have been anti-LGBTQ. I mean, it's, you know, it's as plain as day, but he created a world where he is the ultimate source of news to a whole bunch of people. And he's going to continue to try and be that person after he leaves office. It's really scary. We're going to, you know, the period of time where people can't even find common ground because they're living in alternate universes is not over. And that's because Donald Trump wants it that way.
Well, we want to continue with you, Ryan Basham, because in better news, we are excited that Joe Biden, our president-elect, is finally announcing his first round of cabinet picks. There's a lot of women involved, and that is so exciting for women, of course. We'll
and
talk about
men
it.
Who and, love
men,
women.
And men who love women, of course. And we'll discuss coming up next.
Welcome back to the Morning Beat. It's time for some more Red, White, and Q with Ryan Basham of Stonewall Democrats. Let's talk good news for just a moment because Biden is officially starting to announce his cabinet picks. The big name that's standing out to a lot of people, John Kerry, he's back in the mix again. But who's standing out to you and who are you still looking for? Who are you hoping to see?
Well, you know, I have been most excited at the possibility of hashtag clear the cabinet. I really want to see some LGBTQ people in this team. I mean, every single one of these folks is incredibly impressive and going to make a big mark. I think Alejandro Mayorkas, who is a Cuban-born former deputy secretary of DHS, is now going to lead that department. And I think, you know, imagine the change in policies that are going to happen under, you know, having gone from someone who's kind of, from a slew of people who are immigrant haters to somebody who is an immigrant who did come here in an asylum program. I mean, that's a huge, huge change. I mean, and we're lucky this is finally happening. You know, the 9/11 Commission found that one of the reasons that 9/11 happened was because of the 6-week delay in the transition that came because of the Florida recount. So, you know, we've lost a fifth of the time that a transition team would normally have. They just started getting access to vital information today. So, you know, hopefully, as these things roll out, we're going to find that there's maybe even a few LGBTQ plus folks in the cabinet. But I mean, you know, it's a big cabinet, so there's plenty of room left. But in the meantime, I think we can all tweet at Joe Biden, Kamala Harris, and remind them there are plenty of qualified LGBTQ people out there. I don't know, Mayor Pete.
Yeah, right. We're all kind of waiting to see how that turns out.
Yeah, but I will say it is really exciting to see he's chosen women, particularly women of color. Linda Thomas-Greenfield is the ambassador to the United Nations. Can you talk about her and also Janet Yellen?
Janet Yellen, the first
Treasury Secretary.
The first female to ever hold that position in over 200 years.
Yeah, how could this change so much of what we've known for so many years?
Well, you know, I think there's something really important about putting women in the positions of real power, and I think we've gone as a nation for so long with financial policy and everything to do with money being geared around men as the head of the household, men as the primary earners, so on and so forth. And I think having a woman at the head of Treasury brings the perspective of a woman who has lived through the period of time when women couldn't get credit cards without their husband's signature or buy a house without the co-signing of a man, not because that man had better credit, but just because he had a penis.
It's crazy. Yeah.
And just to clarify, these are all just what is being reported right now. He will officially start making announcements later today. Is that correct?
I think I would call these official.
Okay.
But remember that they all have to go through Senate confirmation. Yeah. So there's always the possibility that, especially if we don't win the two seats in Georgia, there's always the possibility that the Republican Party could just decide to obstruct for the sake of obstructing. Because if Republicans remain in control of the Senate, then Mitch McConnell, who is the obstructioner in chief, will gum up the works just because he can.
Can we talk about John Kerry for just a moment? Because if I'm John Kerry, and I lost the election the way that I did, a close razor thin election again, as often is the case these days, I would have just retired, made some money, speaking engagements, wrote a book, and just called it a day. He served as Obama's Secretary of State after Hillary Clinton, and now he's the climate envoy, taking on climate change, which is a huge, huge task. It feels to me that to John Kerry, this stuff really just matters to him. Is that an accurate assessment?
I think that's an accurate assessment. And also, what strikes me about him is, there are so many times when he could have retired and gone on to do whatever, whatever he does in retirement fishing. But he's spry. He's got all this energy. He's got a lot of passion left. And he's the kind of guy who's really in it because he's a patriot and he cares about the country and wants to make a difference. In this position, he's going to be in all of the National Security Council meetings with climate as his agenda, which is a huge departure from what Trump has done. Mm. So he's going to be in all of those meetings where they're talking about all the major national security issues that affect us around the globe from the perspective of climate and in on all those conversations. So not only is it him continuing to serve, but it's also him continuing to serve in a really, I would think, cool and fun way.
Mm. Well, Ryan Basham, we appreciate you so much. As always, thank you for calling for our Red, White, and Q segment. I hope you have a wonderful Thanksgiving. You enjoy, I was going to say with your family, but it seems everyone's going to be alone. So
I'm going to have a piece of turkey.
Yeah. Oh.
Wait, a piece of, what are your plans? What are you doing?
Listen, I make the best gluten-free stuffing ever, and I get that jellied cranberry sauce in a can, and that's my Thanksgiving, and it's going to be glorious.
I love that. Well, that's perfect. All right, you guys, well, we have more stories in What's Poppin', and it's about Lena Waithe and her wife. There may be a chance that Lena Waithe wants to be with me. Okay, there, I've said it. Find out in What's Poppin'.
And brought to you by California Psychics. But first, we're doing something really fantastic here at Channel Q, along with all of our radio.com family. It's called Give a Gift. You can simply grab your phone to help families in need here in Southern California.
Yeah.
So what we're doing is raising funds. You can give $1, $5, $100, whatever it is you can afford for children in the LA Unified School District region and their families. We're going to be buying gift cards and giving them to them to buy food and clothing for the winter months, maybe a present to put under the tree for the holidays. All you have to do is grab your mobile device, text GIVER, G-I-V-E-R, to 76278. That's 76278, and give what you can to put a smile on our Southern California neighbors this holiday season. Use the hashtag GiveAGift if you share on social media. Tag We Are Channel Q, and just spread some joy this holiday season. I'm Michaela Gordon. What's popping?
All right, well, I have a great story for you, but this is breaking news. It was just announced Trevor Noah is going to be hosting the 63rd annual Grammy Awards this year.
Oh, wow.
That's
the
a
Grammys.
Big deal. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
That's pretty cool.
It's usually LL Cool J, like every year.
Yeah, no, but I think, I think what's pretty great about Trevor Noah and other like political correspondents or even just hosts is that they've shined so much this year. And I think that people are trying to give them the respect that they deserve. And Trevor Noah would be so fun. He's so great.
He's so smart and so funny.
Yeah. All right. Well, this is other big news. Lena Waithe's wife, Alana Mayo, is filing for divorce after less than a year of them being married. Now, they did put an announcement out via, I believe, Instagram. It said, after careful thought and consideration, we have decided to part ways. We have nothing but support for one another and ask that you respect our privacy during this time. There is no information regarding potential spousal support or other arrangements, but this is not surprising to me because I felt like Lena was vibing so hard with Cynthia Erivo. Remember when those rumors were going around?
Mm.
And then People were like, no. And then they got married. So we were like, it's over. However, Lena Waithe is... So Cynthia Erivo is set to star in Lena Waithe's scripted drama talent show. And she's playing a singer-songwriter who mentors young performers. So they're obviously working very closely together, Cynthia and Lena. Sometimes that happens. And I'm going to say with singer-songwriters, I feel like Lena and Cynthia probably had a lot in common. It was very passionate. There's probably a lot of chemistry. Well,
and whether there's anything there or not.
No, let me have my moment.
But I'm saying that's difficult on a relationship because you start to speculate in your mind what could be happening during those sessions in the studio.
1,000%. Listen, I kissed Pauly Shore for a funny scene, and Lisa was like, are you having feelings for men? And I was like, Lisa, get away from me. And if it was... men, it would not be Pauly Shore. Have a little respect.
Ew.
God. You know what? Well, clearly, I was triggered. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to make it about me. But gross.
But somehow, here we are.
Here we are. Well, listen, divorce is really difficult. I think we've watched a lot of celebrity couples and people who are not celebrity couples get divorced this year. The pandemic has just been rough, so I'm really sorry about that, guys. All right, well, this was brought to you by California Psychics. Make the connection with California Psychics. I did, and if it's not the best psychic reading you've ever had, it is free. Visit californiapsychics.com or download the free California Psychics app. Set up an account today, starting at only $1 per minute for new customers. It really is so, so fabulous. Now, coming up in our final hour, there's so much going on, but Doc Halligan joins us as we approach Thanksgiving. It's a very scary time for our animals. We have to make sure that they don't eat any human food. So we're going to talk about how to make sure that doesn't happen to your doggy so you don't end up at the vet hospital on Thanksgiving Eve. Coming up next.
That's right. We are Channel Q, and we're doing something really fantastic this holiday season, Michaela Gordon. Here at the Radio.com family, all of us are partnering up to raise funds for families and children in Southern California who are in need right now for whatever reason. So we're doing it through basically a thing called Give a Gift. What you do, you get your phone, text GIVER, giver, to 76278, give $1, give $5, give $10, and we're going to take all that money that we raise here in the next few weeks through December 13th, I believe, and we're going to take all of that money and we're going to buy gift cards for families in Southern California who are in need. So if you want to put a smile on somebody's face this holiday season and you have a few extra dollars to give, listen, $5 is the cost of a cup of coffee at a Starbucks or a coffee bean. If you can give that, change somebody's life, we'd really, really appreciate it. If you post on social media, tag We Are Channel Q and use the hashtag GiveAGift. It's the right thing to do, and it feels good.
That's right. It absolutely is.
So what's going on in news on the beat? I know we have some breaking news out of Pennsylvania. They just certified the election results in Pennsylvania, which is super exciting for Joe Biden. But what else do you have for us, Michaela?
Yeah, well, you're absolutely right. So Pennsylvania's Secretary of State on Tuesday certified the results of its presidential election, confirming that President-elect Joe Biden defeated President Donald Trump. Governor Tom Wolf announced, actually, in a tweet. Now, the Keystone State's official confirmation, Biden's victory, came a day after Michigan certified that he had won the election, which was very exciting. And I have seemed to have lost my place, and I'm just going to be very transparent about that.
Georgia also certified him just the other day because they did a recount. So he's won Georgia, he's won Pennsylvania, he's also won Michigan. So basically what this is saying to us, and now we heard that, you know, Donald Trump is now, he hasn't conceded yet, but he is allowing the transition to take place now. And these are three big states. He had to hold on to all of them or flip the results in some way, shape, or form, hoping that GOP members in those states would back him up. They did not.
Yeah.
The results have been certified now in all three states, which means there's no turning back.
Thank you very much. You know what? You're my news on the beat today.
You got a panic look on your face like you weren't sure where
Listen
you were
to me.
For a moment.
Listen to me. I'm a professional, but sometimes our producer, in trying to help, will highlight the story. And I'm like, babe, I'm not done with the other one yet. Justin.
This is live.
To be fair, I did that about 2 minutes before you started. So.
Well, to be fair, I'm also in a two-minute
delay.
It's
probably updated.
To be fair, right, is other news.
There is other news.
At hand.
All right. So President Trump and First Lady Melania Trump, who's looking ravishing, by the way, are celebrating the Thanksgiving holiday Tuesday, which is today, with the traditional pardoning of the National Thanksgiving Turkey. The event marks Mr. Trump's first time in public since the General Services Administration told President-elect Joe Biden they're ready to start the formal transition process. Now, Mr. Trump is set to exercise his pardon power during the event in the Rose Garden. He'll designate one of two turkeys named Corn and Cobb as the official Thanksgiving turkey, and the other will serve as an alternate. He will be the understudy, depending on who it is, of this play called Turkey.
Well, let's go back to 2018 when Donald Trump pardoned a turkey and see if there's anything about his statements then that ring true today.
Oh, yeah, there should
the
be.
The winner
little...
of this vote was decided by a fair and open election conducted on the White House website. This was a fair election. Unfortunately, Carrots refused to concede and demanded a recount, and we're still fighting with Carrots. And I will tell you, we've come to a conclusion. Carrots, I'm sorry to tell you, the result did not change.
I think it's funny when he wants to be a comedian, he wants to talk about Carrots and being a jokester. And now that he's really lost, they're having to literally pull his little fingers off of that White House desk to get him out of there.
The Resolute desk, you mean?
Yeah.
That one?
Yeah.
The one that JFK Jr. hid under as a child?
Clearly that's what
Iconic.
I was talking about, yes.
I love that the name is Carrots, too. It's ironic that he's orange, just like a carrot. Also, this is breaking news. The Dow Jones has soared over 500 points so far
wow.
this morning. Over 30,000 right now on the news of vaccines and the Joe Biden transition. So things seem to be stabilizing, at least for now. So we'll see.
Yeah, that's great. All right, well, let's get into a little weather. It's going to be a high of 55 in St. Louis, 45 in Pittsburgh, a high of 54 in Norfolk, and 63 in Sacramento. Now give us a vibe of the day.
Get ready for something magical. You are about to receive amazing news.
I love amazing news.
Do you? Do you love it as much as you love Sacramento?
I love Sacramento. I love carrots, and I love good news.
Sacramento, our state capital?
Yeah, I love Sacramento. Speaking of carrots, they actually are an incredible dog treat, in case you were wondering. And we're going to continue some of our best dog treats with Doc Halligan so you don't end up in the pet clinic on Thanksgiving, coming up next.
Holiday season is in full swing, and we want to make sure we're taking care of our little loved ones this year. And we're talking about our pets, our cats, our pooches, our other animals. So here to help us break down the do's and don'ts of holiday eating and dining and celebrating, celebrity veterinarian Doc Halligan is on the line. Thanks for being here, Doc.
Thank you, Doc.
Well, thanks for having me.
I thought about this a couple nights ago. I had a friend over, and she has a pit bull mix, and we made dinner. And he was begging, and I was like, and he was a rescue. She's had him for about a year, so she kind of gives him everything he ever wants. And whether that's good or bad, she does it. And he was begging, and I was like, no, no, no. She's like, oh, no, he can have a little something. So I gave him some crust from, like, garlic bread. Not the cheese, just the crust, and he was living his best life. But then I felt like, should I be doing this? Because we're looking for a dog of our own right now, and I want to make sure I set good, healthy eating habits and patterns. So what do we need to know going into the holiday season?
Well, Thanksgiving is probably one of the busiest for emergency clinics because a lot of the vets are closed, obviously, that day. But I can't tell you how many sick dogs we're going to get this Thanksgiving because of just like what you said, a little bit of this, a little bit of that. Now, some dogs, when they're younger, they can tolerate it. But there's a point when their gut just goes, nah, not so much. And they can get a life-threatening pancreatitis.
Oh, wow.
I can't tell you how many times I have told people that, and then they, you know, only to find that they didn't listen, and unfortunately, they ended up with a sick dog or a dog that passed away. Mm-hmm. Oh. One of the first dogs I ever lost as a vet was a Dalmatian from a necrotizing pancreatitis. So let's just explain that. People are so confused, like, well, why can't they eat what we eat? Because in the wild, what would dogs normally be eating? You know, they're omnivores, but so they would be eating what? You know, fruits, vegetables, they would, mice, things like that, that are really not complicated, complex, and don't have a lot of fat, right? So that's the big key, is that a little piece of cheese, a little green bean with butter on it. And what happens is their pancreas goes kind of wild, and it, because the pancreas is a little organ by your intestine that has to secrete enzymes to process that. Now, ours is developed for that. But dogs, it's not. And so it goes crazy, and then it starts digesting itself. And they end up dying, and it's very serious. It's not worth taking a chance. You know, people go, well, because I sit there and I go, have what you can give your dog. Obviously, high-quality treats, but a plain raw green bean or a raw little carrot, that type of stuff is, you know, okay. Now, grapes, no. Onions, no. Corn on the cob, no. So know what foods you could give and be very disciplined, or their own kibble. I had a client say, well, she knows I'm not giving her turkey. And I'm like, you know what? No.
Well, I got to tell you, Doc Halligan, those carrots, just for our listeners, Lisa, my partner, is the biggest dog person ever, and she refuses to feed them anything but what they are supposed to eat. She's very, right. very strict about that, and it's helped. Yeah. I mean, our dogs are very healthy, but one treat that they get now is raw carrots.
Mm-hmm.
I find so much pleasure in watching these stupid little dogs chew the carrots. Yeah. Oh, my God, nothing pleases me more. I just crack up. Also, Lisa's feeding so much of them that she's literally creating 600-pound life through my dog Bruno, and we're gonna have to put a stop to that. But I, if one of your animals by chance gets some kind of plate, if it falls and you don't know, what are some of the things that you need to have handy? Because vets aren't going to be open, and especially during a pandemic, it's not as accessible.
Well, you can have hydrogen peroxide. And you can give dogs safely hydrogen peroxide and make them vomit up if they've ingested something that, you know, is going to hurt them. They just throw it up in like 10 minutes. 1 teaspoon per 10 pounds is something we tell people. And, you know, listen, common sense, we're all going to be inside. And yes, we're all kind of going stir crazy, but you can make your pet like a little nook. A little bedroom with a little nook in there. When you guys are eating, put them away. If you can't control their begging, or you have guests over that might not, just make a safe haven for them. Play some music, you know, feed them in there. Don't feed them until, you know, guests come over, and then put them in there.
Another thing, I grew up with dogs, and I used to have a dog in my 20s, and I learned a lesson the hard way, and maybe there's a right way to do this. We thought we'd give our dog a treat one time and give him canned dog food instead of dry dog food without any transition. Mm-hmm. Just went straight to canned. Oh. It turned into a disaster. He went to the restroom all over the place for about a solid day. Any other little special treats we can do for our animals during Thanksgiving?
Well, and that's a good point. You know, the canned food is 80% water. And so it's usually less rich than the dried food, believe it or not. But, yeah, you can't do abrupt diet changes on pets because it can upset them. But, yeah, they make really high-quality foods now. So you could do a little, you know, little tablespoon of some really fancy. They even have Thanksgiving-flavored food.
Yes.
I mean, I love that they do. They make it delicious for our little doggies.
But it has to be for dogs. And you've got, it's called Tough Love. And, you know, if you don't, I can't tell you how many dogs this Thanksgiving are going to get really sick. And sometimes you have to be careful. I had a dog come in on Saturday, a little 10-pound dachshund that ate a chicken wing about 4 inches. And he was gagging on it for 15 minutes and eventually swallowed it. And we had to go in with an endoscope. And, you know, the dog snaked it.
Oh, my God.
Because I called him. I'm like, Jay, you gave this guy, Trey, I'm sorry, his name was Trey, you gave this dog, and he goes, no. He goes, he just jumped and ate the whole thing.
Well, listen,
before they
don't
could get it away from him.
Well, don't you let your doggies be bad this year. You didn't say, though, are they allowed to have cocktails? Just kidding. Totally kidding. all right. Well, thank you, Doc. We appreciate you so much. If you want more, go to DocHalligan.com. Also, she has an incredible podcast, Unleashed. We'll talk to you next week. Thank you. Thank you. We love you. Now,
okay,
coming up.
Be safe.
Now, coming up, Zoom bombing, super spreader, COVIDiot, Oxford Word of the Year is expanded to a whole list for 2020 to capture a mood. And we've got it for you. Coming up next. Tell me something
good. We're going to do just that because we have some really awesome stories to get you in the Thanksgiving spirit as we head into the holiday season. This first one is coming to us from Texas. Orion Jean, he is 10 years old, but this young man is on a mission. He is in fifth grade, wants to provide 100,000 meals to people in need by Thanksgiving. It's part of his Race to 100K Meals project, which volunteers can drop off packaged meals to participating locations throughout Texas host their own drop-off events, or donate funds or resources to help the campaign reach its goal. He's from Fort Worth, but because of the COVID-19 pandemic, he's seen how people have really been impacted. He received a donation of 100,000 yogurts from Chobani, one of my favorite yogurts. That's fantastic.
Yeah.
And he's being hailed as a hero in the state of Texas. He's working with different soup kitchens and churches across the state with the help of his mother, Carrie, to make this happen. How many 10-year-olds even think this way? Who even thinks that they're going to figure out a way to do that? He's also collected, he did a race to 500 toys also, and he's already collected 615 toys. So he's literally changing lives.
That's incredible.
He's going to feed 100,000 people for Thanksgiving. He's 10.
Huge.
I mean,
huge.
Come on.
That's such a good boy. That reminds me of
Kudos
my nephew.
To
he's
you.
A good boy.
Yeah.
Well, listen, they're not 10 years old, but they are huge celebrities that are also helping feed families. Snoop Dogg handed out to Thanksgiving turkeys in California, which was such a big deal. He went to Inglewood and gave residents of Inglewood turkeys, which are much needed. And we have some audio of what he had to say about that.
I love the personal side of it, to be up close and personal, for people to see me, touch me, take pictures with me, to be able to know that I really care and it's not just me writing a check or me saying that I'm about the cause, but me really being about the cause and coming out here, putting my foot on the pavement and making it move.
Yeah, I mean, it's so important. In Austin, 1,400 cars had lined up to receive food parcels from volunteers, including Senator John Cornyn. In Iowa and Pennsylvania, people braved chilly temperatures to volunteer to help others in need. And unemployment in the U.S. is almost double what it was pre-pandemic. So there's a lot of families struggling. If you can do something where you live, or even just post information on your social media sites of where people can go, I think that anything helps. We can also put this story on our website just to remind people of how to tell me something good. It just it's great.
That's right. And so this last story, you're going to have to grab some tissue for this, because this is pretty intense. This young girl, her name is Allie Cheek. She has a rare condition called HECW2. It creates basically a special developmental needs that have been getting progressively worse for her. It's a rare genetic mutation. There are only 50 diagnosed patients in the entire world. One of those patients was her twin sister.
Oh, my
her
gosh.
Sister Bailey Grace passed away last year. So Allie's 7 years old, okay? And she lives in Alabama, actually. And her family, it's become clear to them that she might not survive through the holidays.
Mm.
So they went around to the neighborhood and asked everybody if they'd put out all of their holiday decorations early this year. They lit up their lights, put up trees, Christmas lights everywhere. They even spelled out the name Allie in the front yard. And they are celebrating Christmas early for this young girl because she might not make it to Christmas. If that doesn't tug at the heartstrings and just remind you of the humanity in people and how good people are, and you have a chance to be good as well and help us out. We're doing something really fantastic to help those in need here in Southern California. It's called Give a Gift. Here at Channel Q, all of our Radio.com family is participating in this. We're going to try to raise as much funds as possible. All you have to do, it's so simple. Grab your phone, text the word GIVER, G-I-V-E-R, to 76278. If you can give a dollar, give a dollar. If you can give $100, give $100. No amount is too small or too large. And we're going to take all of that money. It's running for about the next 3 weeks until mid-December, I believe. We're going to take all that money, buy gift cards, and distribute them to families in the LA Unified School District. We're partnering with them right now to make this happen, to get food, clothing, winter clothing, maybe a toy for under the Christmas tree or under the menorah, something. We're trying to give back in any way we can.
Yeah, it's really important.
So text GIVER to 76278 to make a difference in the lives of many, and just keep Allie and her family in your prayers. I mean, what a special story.
Honestly, that's the perfect way to end today's show. Please do take advice. If you have any questions on how you can donate, please go to wearechannelq.com. It's really incredible. We have a great show for you tomorrow. Wash your hands, wear your masks, and we'll see you then.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours.
And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.